name of Jesus. Oh, let's bless that wonderful name one more time. Oh, just bless that wonderful name. Wonderful name this morning, the name above every name.
Yeah.
glorious, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
We come to celebrate that day, that glorious day. It was an awesome day that Jesus came down.
Right.
He died, but oh, thank God, on resurrection morning, he arose with the power. Oh, thank God for that. He had not only the power to raise himself up, but he's got the power to put resurrection deep inside of me. Oh, I'm glad of that. Ain't you glad about that? Hallelujah. Slaughter. Jesus never opened his mouth. I'm the child to the crucifixion. Through the grave it was laid out. After 3 days in the garden tomb, I can hear the angels say, the Lamb came forth as a lion. The Lion King came to keep.
You won't find him again at the ripping post, standing there so weak.
He was rejected, the king was as a lamb, but the day is soon approaching. Every eye shall see the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, has been crowned the King of Kings.
You are passing again at the whipping post, standing there so mean. He walked into the rugged cross, to his head and to his feet. There'll never be another Calvary, cause they don't have to prove.
Left his splendor to live on earth as man. By most he was rejected because he came forth as a lamb. But today is soon approaching. Every eye shall see the Lamb. The Lion of Judah has been crowned King of Kings.
You won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so mean.
Because it came on as a lamb, but today is soon approaching. Every eye shall see the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, as we crown. The Lion became the King.
Oh, you won't find him again at the whipping post, standing there so mean.
And it won't be there to a rugged cross, raise him through his feet.
There'll never be another Calvary, cause you're gonna have to prove one day.
The day the Lamb became the Lion became the King.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
left his splendor to live on earth as man. By most he was rejected because he bore as a lamb. But today is soon approaching. Every eye shall see the Lamb. The Lion of Judah has been crowned the King of Kings.
You won't find him again, whipping post, standing there so weak and it won't.
Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, tell them happy Easter. Good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take a couple of moments. Welcome in every guest. Amen. We welcome each and every one of you into the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you for being with us today. Happy Easter to each and every one of you. And amen. We're excited to celebrate the resurrected Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. What a wonderful day to be in God's house. Amen. What a joy we have to celebrate the Lord. Amen. Amen. And we're glad you're here to celebrate with us. Amen. Brethren, come today, my deacons, if you would, and we're going to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Amen. Didn't you enjoy the program Thursday night and Friday night? Amen. Wonderful job. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Those that were in that, make sure you let them know how they blessed your heart and your life. Appreciate all the work that went into that. Just a marvelous, marvelous production. And those that are here this morning that were blessed by that, amen. Some faces that were here Thursday night and Friday night, we're glad you're back with us today, and we are glad for that. Amen. That was the prayer for everybody that was involved with that, that God would touch hearts and lives through the dramatization that was presented, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he is alive. Thank God. Thank God. So we're glad you're here today. We pray the Lord will touch your heart in a very, very special way, that today would be a monumental day in your life. Amen. Just as 2,000 years ago was a powerful day in the life of the disciples when Christ resurrected, I pray today would be a powerful day in your life, and God would transform you. Amen. Because his power is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Let's give us unto the Lord today. Brother Johnny Sykes, lead us to the Lord in prayer, if you would, please. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you give this morning. Quartet, come on, get ready to sing, and look forward to service tonight. And the Lord willing, we're going to be taking special time out of the service for communion. And so I look forward to that. So remember that this evening, 6 o'clock, and be giving time for communion. And that's always a special time, and reflect upon that. So look forward to that this evening. Let's worship with the quartet.
So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I know he's alive and well today. Amen. I've known him longer than I've known my children. I've known him longer than I know that I've known my wife. Amen. Nobody can tell me that Jesus is not alive and well because he changed my heart. Amen. He changed my life over 25 years ago, and I appreciate everything. I tell you, my only regret this morning is that I did not do it sooner. Amen. The only regret I've ever heard of anybody that's ever served Jesus Christ, ever served God at all, every one of them will tell you my only regret is that I did not turn my life over to him sooner. I tell you this morning, if you're here, amen, you've got heartaches and you need mended in your life, Jesus Christ is the heart mender today. Amen. He can change your life. It's not turning over a new leaf. Amen. When he comes in your heart and your life, when you surrender all to him, amen, he totally makes everything new. The Bible says, behold, all the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Amen. Today, if maybe you've had a miserable life, maybe today you've had an awful life up to this point, but I tell you, Jesus Christ, if you'll let him in your life and let him be Lord of your life, he can turn everything around. Amen. He'll give you a reason for living today. Y'all worship as we sing.
Though man may strive to go beyond the reach of space, go beyond the distant glimmering storm, this world's a room so small within my master's house. The open sky is but a portion of his yard. His vast domain
to try to tell, his lips can only start.
He's big enough to rule the mighty universe,
yet small to live within my heart. How big is God?
How big and wide his vast domain
to try to tell, these lips can only start.
He's big enough
to
rule the mighty universe,
yet small enough to live within my heart.
A rugged cross, our Savior took up Calvary. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Salvation plan is that the world might be set free. A home in heaven is just prepared for saints to see.
How big is God?
How big and wide his vast domain.
To try to tell, these lips can only sob.
He's big enough.
Yet small enough to live within my heart.
He's big enough to rule the mighty universe.
Yet small enough to live within.
And you want to read with me this morning the book of Acts chapter number 17. Amen. The book of Acts chapter number 17. Starting at verse number 29, and I'll read down through the end of the chapter, which is the 34th verse. The main focus will be the last three verses. The Apostle Paul is preaching. We know this as his sermon on Mars Hill. He is at Athens preaching, and we're going to pick up in the middle of one of Paul's sermons in verse number 29 of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. If you have it, say amen. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, your neighbor has one. I'm sure they don't mind you kind of looking over on their Bible. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art or man's device. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man, of course, Jesus, that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And when Paul said that, there was a response among the congregation. That's what I want to preach to you about this morning, about responses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Notice that, the end of verse number 31, in that he raised him from the dead. And when Paul said that, concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Bible said in verse number 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Among them, which was, I'm just going to call him Dion today. Would that be all right with you? Dionysus, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. I want to preach to you this morning about responses to the resurrection. God bless you as you're seated. Paul's preaching, and his theme becomes the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the theme, the center of the gospel. Amen. Without the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, we do not have a gospel. Amen. The events of Christ being crucified and resurrected 2,000 years ago are why we are here today, and we have the power of faith in our lives. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 that if Christ be not risen, then our faith is in vain. It's futile. It's empty. Amen. There is no power to it, but thank God Christ rose from the grave, and there is power to our faith, or that we are forgiven of our sins. But you notice that as Paul begins to preach concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that just as in Paul's day, similar to our day, not everyone always adheres to the gospel. Not everyone receives the resurrection of Christ and as to be truth and to be applied to their life. There were three responses to the sermon of Paul, and I'd like to look at those three responses for you this morning. The Bible says that, first of all, the first response that some had were that they simply mocked at Paul's message. When Paul preached the resurrection of Christ, the Bible said that some mocked. They derided Paul. They mocked him. They scoffed and jeered at Paul. Vine said that it has the idea to intensely scoff with the waving of the hand, or maybe even intense words. So they were throwing their hands at Paul. They threw their hands up in exasperation at Paul. How could a man such as this, how could a man so learned and so educated as Paul, how could Paul fall prey to such the fallacy of believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And so they began to mock him and make fun of Paul for believing in the resurrection of Christ. You're going to be a follower of Christ, or if you have become a follower of Christ, you know you might be mocked as well. But in the word of the Lord, there were other times men were mocked. There are examples of mockery in Scripture. You remember when Nehemiah built the wall, Sanballat came, and the Bible said that he mocked him. He mocked him as they were building the walls of Jerusalem back to protect the people of God. He mocked him. Even Jesus was mocked by those that were crucifying him. He was mocked. He was derided. He was scoffed at. He was belittled. They threw their hands at him, and not just physically, but with the words they spoke, they derided him. They mocked him. Even the New Testament church in the book of Acts, they mocked them as having a new wine. They mocked them in the book of Acts chapter number 2. And so this text is not all that unfamiliar for men that claim to be followers of God to be mocked. But isn't it amazing that they would mock the resurrection of Jesus Christ? For you and I, we probably would gladly receive it. But yet, as Paul preached it that day, there are those that threw their hands in mockery. They threw their hands in derision as a fallacy or an unbelievable a truth, that there's no way that Jesus rose from the dead. They might have accepted him as being a prophet or a scribe or even possibly a miracle worker, but no way will we believe that he rose from the dead. I'm glad that belief, that scale of unbelief has fallen from my eyes, friend. And I realize today, and I can see not only according to the word of the Lord, but I can look at a changed life and understand I know Jesus got up on Easter morning. And I know that he has all power over death, hell, and the grave. How many knows he is alive this morning? Not only alive, but he's alive in your heart. There are those that still mock the resurrection of Christ. They just throw their hand in derision or unbelief. They look at the resurrection of Christ and they belittle it. They scoff at it as if it's unnecessary or unbelievable to them, or something that is not applicable to them. Can I tell you that we mock the resurrection of Christ when we ignore the reality of our own sin? I said we mock the resurrection of Christ when we ignore the reality of our own sin. Can I tell you the reason that Jesus went to the cross was not for his own sin, but it was my sin. It was my transgression. It was my wrongdoing. And so when I hear about the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, if I mock that, if I deride that, I am mocking the fact that I am belittling the reality of my own transgression. I am the one that put Jesus on the cross. You might want to blame the Jews and you might want to blame the Romans, but friend, you and I are as guilty, Melton said, as putting Christ on the cross as those that gave him to be scourged and those that drove the nails in his hand. He went there because of my transgression and your transgression. I don't deny that. Amen. I readily admit I was lost and undone. Amen. If you were born on planet Earth, that means you were born a sinner. You were born with a DNA full of sin and on your way to hell. And Jesus knew that. And so because he knew that, he loved us immeasurably and unbelievably. So he decided to go to cross. He decided to give himself as the sacrifice, as a ransom. And I accept that today, friend. I accept that penalty. I accept that reality that without Jesus' blood atoning for my sin, I will die lost and go to hell. Regardless of what my name is, regardless of what I do in life, regardless of the social status or the economic status I achieve in life, without Jesus' blood applied to my life, I'm going to die lost and go to hell. But I realized that at a young age, and thank God I heard the gospel, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. And so I'm not here today to cast stones, but friend, I'm here to tell you that if you're a sinner, you've got to do what I did, and that is accept the atonement of Jesus for your sin. That you've got to plead the blood of Jesus into your own life and realize that there is none righteous, no, not one. But that's why he went to Calvary. That's why Jesus died, not for his own transgression, but for your sin and my sin and our sin. But thank God Almighty he did, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the sinless Son of God. Hear me, friend. Don't try to get your life better. Don't try to be better doing what you're doing. You'll never work. It'll never happen. What you need is a new life. What you need is a Savior. What you need is Jesus Christ. And so don't throw your hands up in denial, but throw your hands up in surrender and say, Jesus, I accept your blood. I accept the reality. I was born in sin and iniquity. Save me today. Hallelujah. We deny and we mock the resurrection by denying the need of a community called the church. There are those that claim to love Jesus but don't need the church. Hear me, friend, if you are what I refer to as a Christer, a Christmas or an Easter attender, Jesus intended for you to be part of the community called the church. We mock the resurrection of Christ but denying our place in the church. God wants you to be part of a church. God wants you to be part of a local assembly. He wants you to be part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, the disciples and the followers of Christ. He doesn't want you randomly attending at your own feeling or whenever you feel like it. That when you wake up on a Sunday morning and you feel like going to church, you go to church. No, he wants you to be part of a community called the church. He wants you to be a disciple and a follower of the Lord. He wants you to take up your cross and follow him, just like he took up his cross and died for you. He wants you to authentically be a disciple. He wants you to be transformed by the gospel. And so not just to come and feel goosebumps and when the choir sings every 3 or 4 or 6 months, but to daily follow him. Follow him in the pursuit. Follow him in becoming more like God. Following him in a discipleship process, transforming the world around you. Because it was that group of believers in Jerusalem that God put his power in 120 men and they turned the world upside down. Hey friend, it was because they were not randomly following Jesus by their own feelings, but they were solidified by their commitment and they were plugged into a community called the church. You say, I don't want to be part of the church. I've been hurt by the church. I've been wounded by the church. The church has hypocrites. Well, guess what? You're right. The church, take a look to your right, take a look in front of you, take a look behind you. There's probably a hypocrite near you. But the thing about the church is we're trying to fix them. Every given Sunday, we're trying to transform that hypocrite. But you don't go down to the car lot and on that Honda car lot or that Toyota car lot find out, well, there's a hypocrite here. I'm not going to buy any new cars. How many of you find a hypocrite on your job and go in and put in your termination notice on the boss's desk and say, you know what, I got 20 years here, but I'm done working here because old Joe down there in office number 13, he's a hypocrite. You wouldn't do that. And don't let the church be defined by somebody that lied on you or somebody that hurt you. That's not the church. The devil is a liar. Amen. Jesus died for the true church. Jesus died for the blood washed. Jesus died and brought out a church and called out a church. And friend, the church is full of people that were once stained in sin and full of sin. The church is full of people that used to be drug addicts and drunkards. The church is full of people that used to do things that were ungodly, but they have been transformed. I said they've been regenerated. They've been saved by the power of God. I said nobody can do that but the church. AA can't do that. Amen. There's not a social club that can do that but the church. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ can transform a man, can put a marriage back together. Amen. Can take murder out of a heart, can take bitterness out of a heart. Amen. Can put love in there and make you be the daddy and mama that you need to be. And to be the community that we should be. God help us today to be the church of the living God. But just don't throw up your hands and say, I don't need to be part of the church. Amen. That's not what the book says. The book said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The devil will say you don't need a church. The devil will say you can stay home and worship. The devil will say you can get on the internet and worship. The devil will say you can listen on your phone and worship. The devil is a liar. The book said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. God wants you in the house of God on the Lord's day. When it's Sunday, God wants you in church. Preach, preacher. I think I will. When the Lord's day comes, God wants you in church. He doesn't want you at the lake. He doesn't want you hitting golf balls. God wants you in church. If we throw up our hands and mock that, we're denying the resurrection of Christ. We are denying the resurrection of Christ. We're denying the suffering of Christ. Why did Jesus die on Calvary? Because we were lost and undone. We're mocking his suffering. If we don't live separated, if we don't live dedicated, if everybody's going to heaven, if everybody's going to heaven, if the Hindus, if everybody's going to heaven, if the Muslims, if everybody's going to heaven, why did Jesus have to die on Calvary? It'd be the greatest fallacy. It'd be the greatest unnecessary crucifixion that ever took place. It'd be the greatest travesty ever committed that the Son of God would have died unnecessarily. But there is one reason why he died. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. If you're going to heaven, friend, Buddha will not get you there. If you're going to heaven, Hare Krishna will not get you there. But I preached it today. I know the name that can get you there. It's not my name and it's not the name of a church. But I know the name that can get you there. I said the name of Jesus can get you there. I said the name of Jesus can get you out of the pit of sin. I wish I had two or three witnesses right there. I said that name of Jesus can get you out of darkness. That name of Jesus can get you out of addiction. That name of Jesus this morning. Why don't somebody shout that name, Jesus? I said there's power in that name. There's power in that name. Oh, hallelujah this morning. There's resurrection power in that name of Jesus. Glory. There's any day I feel like preaching, it ought to be on Easter Sunday. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Some mocked. They mocked. They mocked. Others said, we will hear again of this matter. We'll just put it off. We'll just come back at Christmas. We'll just come back
you know it, Mother's Day. We'll just come back later, preacher. We'll come back later. The danger of delay, the danger of postponement, the peril of postponing things. We will hear again of this matter. We're going to get around to it. We plan on it. We plan on it. We plan on it. How about today? How about right now? How about this day being the day that starts the rest of your life? How about this day, God wiping the slate clean, wiping out all the sins? How about this day, God giving you a brand new start for the rest of your life? Hallelujah. That's why the book said that this is the day of salvation. That's why the book said now is the accepted time. Right now. The old rabbi said, because you never know the day you're going to die, always repent the day before you're going to die. But you never know when that day is coming. So you repent when you have the time. Right now. Now, now, now. As Paul preached before Felix, he said, I will call for thee at a convenient season. I will call for thee at a convenient hour. But as far as we look to the word of the Lord, there was no convenient season. There is no time in Felix's life where we see that he beckoned back for Paul to come. But today, this is the hour. This is your day. This is the time. Maybe you've thought about it in times past. And sometimes God gives us that space, does he not? Think about it. If you were here at the program, the wonderful scene of the disciples as Jesus appeared to them, was that not? That was wonderful. I appreciate the interaction. But you know, a lot of times the church will define you by one moment in your Christian life. Hence, Thomas. We know him as who? Doubting Thomas. Which really bothers me because I'm an alliterated kind of guy and his surname was Didymus, so for the sake of alliteration, we ought to call him Doubting Didymus. Doubting Diddy. But I don't know if he so much is doubting, he had questions. But everybody else seems to get a pass. Think about it. Jesus had to walk through a locked door to get to everybody else. We make it sound as if Thomas is way out there somewhere because of doubt and everybody else is doing fine. I'm not here to excuse Thomas, but everybody else wasn't doing real great either. They were in a locked door. You might be in church, but if your heart is locked, what's the difference? The door was locked on the inside. Fear will lock you in. So here's all the disciples there in a locked room. Thomas is just being honest. He's asking questions. So what's the difference between him and some of the others? They've got problems going on. Matter of fact, Jesus appears to them twice. He gives them 7 days to think about it, and he comes back the second time, and the door is still locked. He comes back the second Sunday, and the door is still locked. So how about Simon? Let's give him a nickname. The door's locked. How about scaredy cat Simon? The door's locked. Lock the door, Levi. What's the difference? They've got issues going on. Everybody's got issues without Jesus. If we lock him out, if we postpone. But he gave them 7 days. 7 days. But when Thomas was presented with Christ, with the evidence, when Thomas was presented with the scars, did not he cry out, my Lord and my God? If the others would have responded like he did a week before, the door wouldn't have been locked the second Sunday. They'd have been out evangelizing the community. Amen. I would today somebody would do the third response, and that is that others believed. Amen. Some mocked and some postponed, but there were others. that they said believed and they clave to Paul. They got a hold of it and they said, we're not going to let you go. This is the truth of the living God. That yes, they crucified him and yes, they put him in a tomb. But early, I said early on Sunday morning, I said he got up with all power. I said he got up with all authority. I said he is alive this morning. I said somebody ought to shout that Jesus Christ is alive. Oh, hallelujah. If you know he's alive, why don't you lift your hand and love him? Glory. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, oh, I feel resurrection power right now, don't you? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you know the problem with most of America, most of the church world in America, it's a take it or leave it attitude. Not these disciples. Not Dion. He grabs a hold. Not Demarius. She grabs a hold. And others. They grab a hold. They cleave. The original word means to be glued together. Glued together. I'm looking for some commitment this morning. I'm not looking for somebody to say, I need a blessing. Anybody want to go another step? Say, I'm ready to commit. I'm ready to commit. Oh, I know we preach the Word of God from this pulpit on a weekly basis. On a Sunday, we preach and stay true to the Word of God. I understand that. So I'm committed to preaching the Word of God. But what about you taking it this morning and saying, I'm going to take it and I'm going to commit to it myself. I'm going to commit to the Word of God. Instead of just coming in and hearing some things and picking the parts that I like and picking the parts that I don't. Because the culture we live in, here's the way we do it. We do it like we do Pandora or Alexa or whoever. When she plays a song or Pandora plays a song we don't like, thumbs down. Don't ever have to hear it again. Preaching is becoming that way in America. I can see folks a few minutes ago liked what I said. They took it. Some didn't like when I talked about commitment. I can see the bristling. I can see the agitation. Ah, oh, preach to me that he's resurrected. But he resurrected because he's looking for a community of followers. He resurrected because he wants a church. And so Paul left those that did not believe, and he said, I want to follow with those that are in community. So this morning, as you're standing all over this building, I want to keep company with the believers. I'm glad to be part of a community called the church. But I'm looking for a commitment this morning. Somebody say, I want to commit to Jesus Christ. How many followers of the Lord do I have this morning? Why don't you just lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Some of you have been following at a distance. Some of you haven't been following at all. Today, let's change that. Today, right now, let's rearrange that. Right now, come back to Jesus. Right now, let God make the wrongs right. Right now, let him wipe the slate clean. Right now, let today be the best day of the rest of your life. Right now, don't postpone it. Don't throw up your hands and say, I don't believe all that, or I don't believe God will ever do it for me. But I say commit right now in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. The church is going to come, and as the church comes, I want you to join with them, and I want you to meet me at the front of this altar, and I want to pray with you. If you want to make a commitment to the Lord, I want to lead you in prayer. Church, would you begin to come? If you want to make a commitment to the Lord, join with the church right now. Come on, would you do it? Would you join right now in the name of Jesus? Right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm going to be a follower of the Lord. I'm going to be a disciple of the Lord.
When the door is
hallelujah.
Closed.
Hallelujah. Keep coming. Keep coming.
Subside.
Come on.
In the night.
Oh, in the name of the
no
Lord. In the name
knows.
Of the Lord.
Behold
in the name of the Lord.
Behold
Lord, I'm going to do it right now.
Touch his riven side.
Lord, I'm doing it right now.
New hope is born.
Lord, I'm doing it today. Lord, I'm doing it today. Lord, I'm doing it today.
Into the roof when the door is closed.
Lord, I'm going to do it this morning.
Make your pain subside in the night when no one even knows. Behold his head. Behold his feet. Touch his riven side. Born, for he's alive. Gathered in a room, their hope now deferred. Grief was spoken, but no one said a word. This man they call their king died like a thief. Mary said, he is alive, but we cannot believe.
He can walk into the room when the door is closed. He can make your pain subside in the night when no one even knows.
Behold his head.
His riven side.
New hope is born, for he's alive. The hours pass and the days go by, but your pain won't end. You're still hurting inside. Jesus, for your grief and your sorrows too, he is full of compassion and he has come. He has come for you.
He can walk into the room when the door is closed, and he can make your pain subside night when no one even knows.
Behold his
head. Behold his feet. Touch his riven side. New hope is born, for he's alive. He can walk into the room when the door is closed, and he can make in the night when no one even knows.
Behold his head.
Behold his feet. Touch his riven side. New hope is born, for he's alive.
He can walk into the room when the door is closed. He can make her pain subside in the night when no one even knows. Behold his hand.
Behold his feet.
Touch his riven side. New hope is born, for he's alive.
Thanks, thanks,
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Well, I'm going to say thanks,
thanks, I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
I thank you, Lord, for the strength you give to simply carry on through life's trials and tests and the worst and best. I'm never left alone. You're always right beside me. You hear me every time I pray. And since I first began, you've been my dearest friend. I just want to give you thanks.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna say thanks,
thanks, I give you thanks.
It is for all you've
done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
I give you thanks this moment, and I will continually. For each day I live, your grace you give, I'm blessed abundantly. I can't forget that moment when in my life you made such a change. And since the Spirit came, I've not been the same. I just want to give you thanks. I want to say thanks,
thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed, my soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I give you thanks.
Thanks,
thanks, I give you thanks.